That's what the law says. That's what the law says. It says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself. And it not only demands that, the law, not only, God's law not only demands that in deed and word and action, but it demands it in thought. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Now here's where these religious Pharisees, religious leaders, missed the law. They missed the law here, and our Lord Jesus interpreted for them. He showed them the law reaches not just to the deeds and words, it reaches to the thoughts. In Matthew 5, verse 21, our Lord Jesus said, you have heard, we're back here in verse 20, turn over here a minute, verse 20. I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Now their righteousness was an outward form, an outward conformity to these laws. But Christ said, now, hey, wait a minute, verse 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. That's what it says. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. Whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. In other words, our Lord says, not to kill a person physically does not mean you've kept that law. To be angry and to hate that person in here, you're guilty already of murder. I'm a murderer. You say, preacher, you've never killed anybody. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. You have too. We've killed plenty of people in our thoughts and in our minds. That's right. And then he says down here in verse 27, you've heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. There may be many people in this congregation who can say, I've been faithful to my husband, to my wife. I've never in all my life ever committed adultery. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Our Lord said, verse 28, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman or man to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. It's a heart action. To think evil thoughts is to be guilty already. The thought of foolishness is sin. Actually, the deed begins with the thoughts. We hate someone, but we don't kill them. We're restrained by different reasons. The man out here in the penitentiary that killed the man, his deed started just like yours, a thought. And then he carried it out. He wasn't restrained. You and I were restrained by God. We don't take any credit. The only reason you and I have not done anything possible for a human being is because God restrained us. The thought was there, the intent was there, the desire was there, and therefore God looks on the heart. And you're guilty, and I am too. Down here in verse 38, you've heard it said by them of old time. It hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Get even. We usually do. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other one. If a man sue you at the law and take your coat, let him have your cloak. A man compels you to go a mile, go too. Yeah, that's, now there's your law. That's what the law says. We know whatsoever things the law says. He goes to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, to whom does the law say these things? Well, let's read on verse 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who is that? That's every one of us. That's every son of Adam. That's every subject of God's kingdom. That's all people, all nations, all inhabitants of God's universe. That's the Soviets, and that's the Americans, and that's the British, and that's the Jews, and the Gentiles. That's the male, and that's the female. Every human being We may claim exemption for work being disabled. We may claim exemption from the armed forces being old. We may claim exemption from giving, having no resources, but there's no exemption from sin. Down here in verse 23, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Look at these above verses that Brother John read for us, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Is the Jew better than the Gentile? Is the female better than the male? Are we Americans better than the Russians? Are we civilized and intellectual people better than the bums and the welfare folks? Are we, name any human being, are we better than they? No! No. We have a tendency to make a difference, but God says there is no difference. We judge men by their education. We judge them by their dress. And I'm guilty of this, and you are too. You see some person, Doris and I, in the airports of these different cities in Europe, and I always say, why don't people dress like that? Well, if I was a heathen, I would too, you know, except for God's grace. That's why they dress like that. That's why they act like that. God turns them loose. And I do the same thing. Why don't we quit asking why? There is no difference. There's no difference. Look, no. Or what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we before proved, both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous. And in case you doubt it, no, not one. Yeah. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seek after God. They seek after flesh and self and self-glory, but not after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all of us together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. Do you doubt it? No, not one. God looked down from heaven, the scriptures see it said, to see if there was one righteous man. He found they're all together become unprofitable. All. All. All right, let's see. Verse 19 again now. You know what the law says, and to whom it says it, to every one of us, and what's the results? Fourfold. Verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped. I tell you, when a man or a woman, when this preacher, you, or anybody else, when we clearly understand what the law says, what God requires, what the holiness, the immaculate, immutable holiness of God requires, if we ever get a glimpse of it, like Isaiah of old, it'll do four things. Number one, it'll stop our mouths, that every mouth may be stopped. No more claims of righteousness. Well, I've always tried to do the best I can. No more of that. Well, I've always lived a decent life. No more of that. Stop your mouth. Well, I've always helped others. No more pride. No more self. No more works. No more alibis. No more blaming somebody else. That's our greatest fault. That's our greatest fault, blaming somebody else. Well, I never had an opportunity like you do. By nature, we'd have messed up anything God gave us. That's right. Every mouth, stop. Just when you see, like Job said, Lord, I've heard of you, now I see you, I put my hand on my mouth. I'm afraid of what I might say. That every mouth be stopped. Secondly, and all the world become guilty. Now there's several things here about this guilty. That word in the margin, see it? Guilty. Subject to the judgment of God. Guilty. Guilty. Guilty, subject to the judgment of God. David admitted that. Psalm 51. Turn over there and listen to what David said in Psalm 51.
He said in verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. Psalm 51:3. My sin is ever before me. And I'll tell you, if a work of grace is ever done in these hearts, it's going to be my, not we. It's going to be my. I acknowledge my transgression. And my sins are ever before me. I can't get them out of my mind. And here's what he says. Listen, it's against thee, guilty before God. It's against thee and thee only I've sinned. And I've done this evil in your sight. And Lord, you're just. You're justified when you speak. And you're clear when you judge me. Can you do that? I confess, I can do that tonight. By God's grace, I believe many of you can. I can say guilty before God. And my transgressions and my sins are ever before me, and it's against God that I've sinned. And I've done what evil I've done and thought and said in His sight. And if He sends me to hell, that's what I deserve. If He says, condemned, depart from me, I never knew you, I got no word to say. You don't either. I don't have one word to say. I don't believe He's going to because of Christ. But if He did, He'd be just. That's so. And that's where you got to come. Guilty before God. And then listen to this third thing. This is the results. What the law says, to whom it says it, it stops our mouths, Romans 3, that we might become guilty before God and that we might realize, number 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. In other words, there remains no hope for me to be cleared, to be justified, to be accepted, to be received of God by what I do. There's no grounds. There's no hope. I can join every church in this land. I can be baptized in every baptistry. I can walk down to every altar. I can go visit every confessional, every priest, every preacher. I can try all the things that men subscribe to and present. And there, by the deeds of the law, works of the flesh, I'll never be justified in His sight. I may justify myself in your sight. That's what we do. Turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. This is one of the major problems of religion today. Getting fixed up before men. Impressing some preacher or some person or some church. Look at me. I've turned over a new leaf. Look at me, I'm religious now. Look at me, I'm studying the Bible. Look at me, I'm going to church. Look at me, I'm giving gifts. Look at me, I'm saved. I'm this, that, and the other. Everybody, do I impress you? Our Lord said, it won't do you any good. Luke 16:15, listen. And He said unto them, you they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. This is the law. The law comes in its requirements and speaks to me and kills me, slays me. Like Paul said, I was alive without the law, but when the law came, it slew me. It shut my mouth. It put me in the dust. It made me cry guilty before God. And I realized, thirdly, I'm hopeless. As far as salvation's concerned, or eternal life, or acceptance, I'm hopeless. There's nothing I can do. In His sight, now the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight. I thank God somebody else can do something in His sight. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. I have to sneak this in before I get into the remedy, because this ruin business gets us down feeling so low. We get so blue, we might not hear the rest of it, Colossians 1, verse 20. It says in Colossians 1, 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things under Himself. By Him, I say, by Christ, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were at one time alienated, enemies in your mind by your wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight." Oh, I like that. Christ, I'm hopeless, helpless to justify myself in any way, but I can be justified by one who's able. And there's one who is able. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. All right, here's the fourth thing. The results of this law speaking to us shuts our mouths, renders us guilty, renders us hopeless as far as works, deeds, religion is concerned. And the last line of verse 20, "For by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, my friends, don't let anybody come to you preaching salvation by law and by deeds and by works, because actually the law can only serve a threefold purpose as far as we sinners are concerned. Number one, it reveals our sins. The law reveals our sins. The law is like a mirror. When we go to the medicine cabinet in the bathroom, first thing we do is look in the mirror. See the damage, I guess. See what needs to be done. But you can stand there and look all day, and no improvements will be made. The mirror can only reflect what you are. And when I look into the law, I see what I am. Secondly, it kills me. Literally, actually slays me. Slays me. Gives me a knowledge of my sin. I cry, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Like Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And thirdly, it shuts me up to Christ. That's what the law does. The law doesn't help me, it doesn't sanctify me, it doesn't improve me. Even after you're saved, the law won't improve you. That's right. It shuts me up to mercy. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the rottenest sinner of all? The one that's looking in. Doesn't matter who it is. You just take your choice. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the greatest sinner of all? Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners. Because I'm the one looking into the law." Okay, let's go to God's remedy. Verse 21. That's man's ruin. It's a total ruin. It's an absolute ruin. It's a complete ruin. Verse 21. "But now..." My friends, this salvation is now. This redemption is now. This justification is a present possession. John said, "Beloved, now." You know, I took my concordance. I saw this word "now," and I just went down through there. It's amazing how many times the apostles and prophets use this word. Oh, but now. But now are we sons of God. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off are made nigh by His precious blood. Right now. Right now. Person doesn't have to wait till the smoke clears away and the dust dies down and judgment is over to find out whose side he's on. He can know right now. Right now. Now, look what? The righteousness of God, the holiness of God, perfection before God in His sight without the law is manifested. Now, my friends, that means exactly what it says, without the law. And that's what I'm preaching. This salvation is without my obedience to the law. Either before God saved me or after God saved me. It's without It's without my obedience to the law in any shape, form, or fashion. It's strictly by the obedience of another. And Paul preached that because back here, you remember when John was reading, Brother Chapman was reading over in verse 8 of Romans 3, and Paul says, "And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come." Man says that is just to be damned. That's what he says. And a man believes that, just to be damned. People charge us with being antinomians, without law. But I'm telling you this, redemption is without the law. Salvation is without law. Righteousness for me is without my obedience to the law. It's by Christ, by His obedience. It's without the law. That's just, is that so, John? And that's what you read there. Paul says, you know what people are saying about me out there? I'm preaching that salvation is without the law. It's by Christ's obedience. It's by Christ's righteousness. It's by Christ's death. And all my righteousness is imputed. It's His. I'm dressed in His beauty. I'm clothed in His glory. I'm accepted in the beloved. And not by works. They said, Paul's an antinomian. Paul doesn't believe in holiness. Yes, he did too. God forbid. God forbid. Shall we do evil that good may come? God forbid. Who ever heard of such a thing? But I'm saying this, the righteousness of God right now is without the law, and it's manifested by the Word. Listen, it's manifested, it's witnessed by the law and the prophets. What is the law and the prophets? Well, turn to Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8, verse 20. What is this law and the prophets? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Let everything be settled by the Word of God. This righteousness, this holiness, this acceptance, this gift, this standing is manifested by the Word. Not by the church rules and laws. The church can't give it. Not by down-home holiness and country holiness and regional sanctification. It's what the Word says. Listen to Isaiah 8, verse 19. "And when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? Do you go for the living to the dead? Go to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them." My friends, what I'm telling you is not what I've concocted or what I imagined or what my church believes or what Baptists believe, or what Russian Orthodoxy or Catholic or Baptist or anybody else. It's what God says. The righteousness of God is without the law, and it's manifested from His Word. That's where we got it, the Word of God. Let every word be established by His Word. Now watch the next line. "It's even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ. And it's unto all, and it's upon all them that believe. For there's no difference." What are we saying? Salvation and acceptance before God and a perfect righteousness is ours, two things, by the faithfulness of Christ. It's by His knowledge that He justified many. By His knowledge, He knew us. He knew the Father. He kept the law. He obeyed the law. By His knowledge, by His obedience, by His faithfulness, by His righteousness, by His works, by His intercession, by Him, by His person, He justifies us by His faithfulness. That's what that says, by His faithfulness. But also, it's by faith in Him. We believe. "My sheep hear my voice," and they what? They follow me. They believe. Yes, we do. We believe. "What shall we say that Abraham our father hath received as pertaining to the flesh? Righteousness." How do you receive it? He believed. He believed God. And it was imputed to him for righteousness. Oh, I know my standing before God is in Christ. through Christ, because of Christ. But I'm in Christ by faith that God gave me. By faith that God gave me. All right, verse 24. I want you to tarry here just a moment. And verse 22 says this righteousness is for all who believe. There's no difference. Jew or Gentile, male or female, bond or free, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is for the lawyer and this is for the laborer. This is for the president and this is for the prisoner. This is for the teacher and this is for the pupil. This is for the old, this is for the young. This is for the black, for the white. There's no difference. All who believe are justified. And here's why. Being justified. That's past tense and that's present tense. Being justified, I have peace with God. Because I'm justified. But I'm being justified. You see, salvation is not just an isolated experience. Repentance is not just an isolated act. Somebody said, well, I repented. Aren't you still repenting? Well, I believed on Jesus one time. Aren't you still believing? I came to Christ. Aren't you still coming? For by grace have you been saved through faith. And to those who are being saved, Christ is the power of God. And now's our salvation nearer than when we believe. We're being justified. We are justified. We're being justified. That's right. Being saved. Isn't that right, sister? That's so. We're being sanctified. Justified. Having been justified and being justified. And listen, freely. Freely. No return. No reimbursement. By His grace. I'm not saying that a person can finally be lost. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that God has saved us. He is saving us and He will save us. He has delivered us. He is delivering us. He will deliver us. He that hath begun a good work. Now listen. He that hath begun a good work shall, what's the word? Finish it. And it is not finished yet. Not for me. It will be, won't it, Jim? It's not finished yet. It will be. When I'm just like Christ. Saved. Saved. Being freely justified. Being justified freely by His grace. And everybody get this now. It's through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. It's in Christ Jesus. Is that clear? Whom God set forth. He set Him forth in the covenant. He set Him forth in the promises. He set Him forth in the pictures. He set Him forth in person. Hung a star over His birthplace. Sent an angel to tell the shepherds. He set Him forth on a cross. And He brought Him forth from a tomb. And He sat Him down on His right hand. And said, there He is. There's your hope. And I tell you, this old sinner, without hope, without help, without strength, at his wit's end, bows before that Redeemer. And I says, Lord, let Thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. I need mercy. Thank God it's free to all who need it. He's never turned away a sinner. Look to Him. Let's sing, It's Well With My Soul. And I tell you, you can sing that, can't you? In Christ. In Christ, It's Well With My Soul. 256.